with regard to the idea that's brought down in the Gemara, in the Talmud, it's referred to as Gamzu L'tova. This too is for the good. And it's associated with certain individuals, most specifically the individual who exemplified this philosophy, so to speak, this approach to life, to the greatest extent, is the individual in the Talmud who's known as Nochum Ish Gamzu. That is, Gamzu means this too. It's a reference to, it's an abbreviation of this too is for the good. So that name was associated with Nochum, with this individual called Nochum, because he always exemplified this virtue. Of course, the question arises, what is the virtue of believing that no matter what happens to you, this too is for the good? It's the kind of thing that many people employ. And we could see it as being a psychological defense mechanism. Sometimes people are overwhelmed by things and they can't tolerate the pain. So in order to somehow or other cope with it, they say this too is for the good. But is that really true? It's one thing to use mechanisms. People use many mechanisms. They use charms and other things which are false, but give them a sense of security. But if it's a false sense of security, well, what good is it? Moreover, you see in the Torah the behavior of individuals in difficult situations. In those kinds of circumstances, when they were confronted with tragedies, what appeared to be tragedies, and they don't seem to be reacting the same way. As we see, when Yaakov, when the sons came back from Egypt with bad news, that they'd had a very tough encounter with the ruler, and he had accused them of being spies, and he had jailed Shimon. So the situation was a calamity. Yaakov did not react by saying, Gamzu L'tova, this too is for the good. And Yaakov, when he sought to escape from Lavan, and he encountered Esav, and he was afraid, and he prepared, didn't say, this too is for the good. So, in general, whenever the Torah describes situations of calamities, you don't see anybody saying, this too is for the good. When they brought back the torn and bloody garment of Yosef, which obviously indicated that he'd been killed, so why didn't Yaakov say, Gamzu L'tova? If that's the attitude. If the attitude is that there's no such thing really as a bad event. Everything that happens is a good event. But that's not reflected in the Torah. So that can't be the meaning of the idea. We have to differentiate between the way the idea is commonly apprehended by ordinary people as opposed to what it's trying to teach us, the true teaching. There are different stories in the Talmud that illustrate the principle. One being the case of Rabbi Akiva, who was traveling and he sought hospitality overnight in a town, and they couldn't find a place for him. We don't have the Gemara in front of us, we're just reviewing the case in general from memory. So he had to sleep in the woods, and he had a light, and he had a rooster or a goat, and further bad things began to happen to him. The light was extinguished, and the rooster was eaten, devoured by an animal, and the goat ran away. So it would seem that everything was going from bad to worse. But no, this is Gamzu L'tova, this is all for the good. It turned out that it was. That the next day, turned out that the robbers had come and had gone into the town and killed everybody in the town and stolen all their money. And because of the inhospitality, he was saved. Then the other events, the fact that his light had gone out and the animals, the rooster was killed, all this was for the good because as a result of that, they didn't see him or hear him, so he was protected. So it turns out, what do you learn from the story? It turns out that all of those things that when they were happening appeared to be tragedies or catastrophes, whatever you want to say, every one of them was really for the good. On the surface, it's not easy to understand for many reasons. It could happen. This seems to be highly unusual. It could, however, happen that a person can have a series of mishaps, can miss a flight, can lose their luggage, not have a room to stay in. It could happen to a person. It's possible that you could have a series of setbacks. And then, after the fact, it turns out, because there's a hidden scenario that you're not aware of, there's just so much that you could see when it's happening. So there's many other factors that you're completely unaware of. That is to say, if a person misses a flight or gets bumped off of a flight, and this is extremely significant because you're going to a very important event, you're going to an important business meeting or anything else that's extremely important. So that's all you basically see. That's all you could see. And when you see it, you experience it as a setback. It's not going to make you happy. But there's much more going on than you're aware of. There are other factors out there that you're not aware of, and one of those factors could be a set of circumstances that will cause a crash. You're not aware of the situation of the pilot, the situation of the plane, all the different systems, and there could be a breakdown. You're not aware of that. Then you go back to your hotel to spend the night, and you're very, very upset because you're not going to be able to be at this extremely important situation or business meeting, whatever it may have been, and you finally fall asleep. After all that aggravation, you aggravate, you can't stop aggravating. And then, because you can't see how there's any good side to this. There's no good side to this. It's so important to you. You've put so much into this. You've waited for this. So all you could see is the negative, the tragedy. And then the next morning, you put on the TV and you hear about the airplane crash. And suddenly, the entire thing is different. And then you feel like maybe even apologizing, calling up or thanking, not just apologizing, thanking the airline representative who was responsible against your tremendous protest, because you were putting up a tremendous protest and a fight and yelling and screaming and saying things that you regret. And this person had to be extremely tough, extremely demanding, and finally virtually, physically forced you off the plane. Now you want to call this person up and thank this person for saving your life. The story has to be part of life. The Talmud cannot communicate teachings to us that aren't part of life. So is that life? Is that real? If it's real, okay, well, we'll change our attitudes now. Or it's not real. If it's not real, how could it be? The Talmud's not going to make up things that aren't real. It's talking about the truth. It does seem ironic that for those people who were not bumped from the flight, and at that point in time, witnessing what was happening to you, kind of felt a little bit of a sympathy, but you know the sympathy that really doesn't bother you that much. Oh, I'm sorry that you can't make this kind of thing. Meanwhile, you're feeling happy that it didn't happen to you. They're feeling definitely that this is Latova, Gamzu Latova. They're the ones that are telling you Gamzu Latova. Don't worry about it, Gamzu Latova. But for them, it turns out that it's not a Tova. What about them? But that's not really my focus at this point in time. It is difficult then to say that even after the person realizes the great good, which he thought was an evil, turns out it was a great good, but it's not a great good for the other people. So Gamzu Latova is a purely selfish phenomenon. I'm only concerned about me. At all events, most people will say, yeah, in a case like that, you're right. That's true, but how many cases work out like that? We all go through a lot of similar type things. You experience the negative, the negative, the negative. Where do you see the rainbow? At the other end of the tunnel. Or the light at the other end of the tunnel. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's what I was trying to recall. It's being suggested that many people believe that what the story is trying to tell you is that you should have that same attitude, that when things happen that appear to be bad, that's not the case, and it's going to wind up, in the end, it's going to wind up being good. That is very difficult when you apply it to your own personal situation, because while that sometimes is the case, very often, maybe the majority of the time, it's not the case. You go through these setbacks, and you don't see the pot of gold. You don't see how this was part of a process that was leading to some good. And if indeed you're always going to wind up seeing it, if this kind of thing was the reality. There was a connection between the negative thing that happens to you and the cause and effect. Eventually it's going to become positive. Then you wouldn't need the Talmud to reinforce this attitude. Then everybody would be an optimist. It'd be a reality. People work. People's attitudes are shaped by the reality. Causation. So, if that's the case, so what are they saying? That's the reality? If that's the reality, so then there's no need to develop this attitude. It'll be there by nature. There's a few factors at work over here that shape a person's reaction to untoward events. The first we have to acknowledge is that the reaction that we have to events that occur, whether they be positive or negative. You see, people have tremendous reactions when things appear to be positive. It works just as much in that way that very often people get extremely excited about things which they believe are enormously beneficial, and you could have the opposite philosophy, gamzulara. And many times, this too was negative. This too was for the bad. You could have that same attitude. Because people are involved in tremendous miscalculation. Miscalculating the significance of events that occur. Whether they be on either side. Whether they be for the good or whether they be for the bad. Now, there's a reason for that. Let's analyze it. In most of these situations, you have to ask yourself, are you really equipped to get excited about something which appears to be great, or to get terribly distressed about something which appears to be evil? If you look back in your life, you'll see many situations in which you had a very strong reaction to events. It could be strong on the negative side, or it could be very strong on the positive side. And if you trace them, if you track them, for example, how much anxiety people have? Let's talk about the negative. It seems that it's more of a problem on that side. People worry. People have tremendous fear and anxiety, which, you know, attaches itself to certain things that are going on, certain things that are happening. If you look back on your life, each person can do that. I mean, this is something you do when, you know, as you get older. And look back on your life and see how many times did those fears actually come true. And then in retrospect, it was tremendously magnified. A complete distortion, a misreading of the picture. You were reading a certain picture. You had certain fears. And then your mind starts to play games. It's projecting. This is going to happen and the other thing's going to happen. There's a few things, a few events come together. They produce a certain type of an appearance. And then your worries, it affects a certain emotion within you. And you start to project. And you have a whole scenario. And there's absolute disaster at the end. And you then are in a state of depression and anxiety until such time, whatever. First of all, it could cause you to act in a certain way. A lot of these things are self-fulfilling. It could be self-fulfilling. That's a very significant aspect of the teaching over here. That when a person is convinced that certain things are going to happen, it causes them to act in a certain kind of a way, not in the appropriate way. If a person is lacking in confidence because they're convinced that they're going to be rejected, they're walking into a situation and they have a very strong conviction that they're going to be rejected by the other person, by the group, by the class, by the company, whatever it is. If you allow that feeling, which is false, it's just a feeling, it has nothing to do with the reality. If you allow that to dominate the way you act in that situation, it's going to be, to a large extent, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because then you seek to avoid. You're not yourself anymore. Instead of feeling free, if you felt free, you could be yourself and use your talent and express yourself and be yourself. Even if that emotion was there, if you pushed it aside, and that emotion may be there, but I'm going to act in a completely different way. If you're feeling inferior, then the natural tendency is not to assert myself. You're going to be extremely solicitous because you're going to try and win them over. But what's going to be communicated is your sense of insecurity. People do that all the time. You can sense when a person doesn't have that confidence. That itself, while it may be what your emotions suggest to you, but that itself very often has a negative effect upon the others. They may sympathize. You will elicit a certain sympathy from them, which is really what you want to do. You're trying to get them on your side through sympathy. And don't judge me too harshly, because I'm such a nice person. But really, that may not be the thing that's going to work. If a person wants to know, is that the correct way to go? Well, then you have to analyze and say, well, maybe these people will have sympathy, but that's not what they're looking for. They're not going to hire the person who they have sympathy for. They're going to hire the person who they have confidence in. So the person that goes in there with a certain confidence and presents their case with authority and conviction, strangely enough, gets the job. You, who were kind of tentative and apologetic and defensive because of your own fear, you didn't want to come on too strong, lost the job. What's happening is that a person is allowing your own emotional reaction to a situation to determine objectively that this is the case, that this indeed is the case. That you have knowledge of something which, in point of fact, you really don't have knowledge of whatsoever. That's just the same is true with regard to all these scenarios. All these scenarios that you concoct in your own mind, whether it be for the good, people very often go bankrupt. They have these schemes, business schemes, and it's also based upon assumptions. It's based upon assumptions in an area where you can only see a very minute part of the picture. The picture is too big. There's a bigger picture out there. And thus, the scope of what we could see is very limited. The more you increase your scope, the more you could see. There's no question about it. A person has to use intelligence and learn. Before you go to war, you try and get as much intelligence. The more you know about the enemy and their armaments and their installations and their strategies, the more you know, the better equipped you are. But there's always going to be a point at which you don't know and you can't control. You can't control. There's too many factors out there. Nobody has complete control over that. So the outcome can be completely different than what you imagine it to be. Thus, a person suffers a tremendous amount of unnecessary anxiety and worry based upon that inner feeling that you know how things are going to turn out. Now, if you could look back over your life and review how many times you had that feeling, doom, the doom feeling, and how many times did it actually materialize? Well, it probably didn't because you wouldn't be here today. You'd be, who knows where, you might not be alive. If people who have this doomsday feeling with regard to health, some people have with regard to health, hypochondriacs. So they're always discovering a fatal illness. And they go through that kind of torture. And not one of them had any connection to reality. Then there's other doomsday things with regard to the children. People are worried about their children. People are worried about their jobs. Other things, business. In business, people go crazy. 99% of it is based upon this type of a approach, a very superficial reading of the picture. So there are negative events. There's no question. I'm not saying that everything that happens is positive. There are negative events in business, the economy. Certain things are bad for the economy. So certain events occur, it's bad for the economy, and may have an impact upon your business. But the outcome is something which you really can't determine. There's no way in one specific situation for a person to have an extreme reaction. Let's take the case, for example, of Rabbi Akiva. The fact that he was not given lodging, and he had to be out of the city, and he had to be in a different environment. Now, most people have an exaggerated reaction to the particular. A, because of the fact that they're limited in terms of what they could see, based upon what you could see. Now, this is not a tragedy. We're not talking about calamities. If this meant that he had to put his life in a situation of grave danger, that's a different situation. No one's going to say. That's why you're not. This Gemara is addressing itself to pretty much ordinary types of mishaps that people go through. The whole framework of the Gamzu Latova attitude is not talking about a situation where they bring back a corpse. That's not what it means. Because we're human. That's a tragedy. Tragedy is part of the situation. Thus, by Yaakov, when the sons came back, when they brought back the evidence about Yosef, of course, that was a tragedy. That's something else. He's not going to say Gamzu Latova. There's a case where you have the result. It's not like you're... We're talking about a situation where you don't have any result. You have something which creates a certain appearance. Similarly, when he had to confront Esav, that was a real danger. He's not going to just sit back and say Gamzu Latova. It wouldn't make sense. In this situation, however, it's something which most people would be extremely upset about. Because, all things being equal, it's a very significant inconvenience. I don't think, though, however, that by simply not sleeping in the town, he's definitely going to be hurt or killed or something like that. It's just something you don't want to do. It's an unpleasant situation. It's unpleasant, and it also seems to be very bad. However, the first problem is that there's just so much that you could read. Your screen is very limited. You have to understand that. The second factor is that a person gets overly attached to a particular scenario. That's a very, very big emotion. It has a lot to do with human insecurity. And in many people, in order to overcome the insecurity, their sense of confidence has to do with control. They have to have control over things. When they lose their sense of control over things, they get very, very nervous. Anxiety. You see that. A lot of people are very orderly in their lives. It will trace itself down to particulars. It could be in their house, cleaning of the house, in their closets. Everything has to be neat and organized. But everything in their lives, they have to know. Then they're very inflexible. A lot of people are inflexible. Can't change. They have their schedule. This is planned. The other. It's not. Of course, it's a good idea in general to be organized. But you see, it's way beyond rational sense of organization. It becomes like you can see how upset they get if something upsets their apple cart. In the same way, people get attached to certain particular things happening a certain way. Their whole sense of a good life, the good and bad, is tied up with certain particulars, a scenario. They envision a scenario happening for them. And when things do not work out according to their scenario, then they get really out of kilter. They attribute tremendous importance, which is not warranted, to this particular set of circumstances. These particulars. They get involved in certain particulars. That's why if a person loses his wallet or luggage, things of that sort, there's many other factors. Aside from the fact that there's many other factors, and you don't really know whether this delay is really a bad thing, it also has to do with the overestimation of the importance of these particulars. So a person that can't adjust to that and say, well, how much difference does it really make? Now, that's easy to say to somebody else. But there's truth in that a person can't accept certain situations, can't accept that this should happen to them. So they go through a tremendous stress and a tremendous aggravation because they bring to the phenomena a certain attitude and a scenario that this is not the way it ought to be happening, and how could this happen to me? That is another thing you see. There's another aspect of this from Rabbi Akiva. It's not so much the Gamzu Latova in this case. Gamzu Latova has two aspects to it. One is the negative, that it's not necessarily bad. It's not a bad, nothing bad happened. Nothing bad happened. What happened? Nothing bad happened. I'll give a very mundane kind of case. I'm just trying to find something which is an illustration, and you'll find it in your own life. Let's say you had plans to go on a trip, going somewhere. So then, the last minute, everything has to be changed. This thing happens, the other thing happens, and a few different events occur. Maybe something for your job, so you thought you could go early, so you can't do that, and then the airline changes. You're really upset. And let's say your husband comes home, and of course you need to get it out of your system. So you start fuming, and say, I can't believe it. Because you usually when it's four or five different things, maybe you could absorb one thing. But four or five different things, and then I don't believe it, I call this one, and guess what he said, and then the hotel, and you have a whole list, and you have a tremendous amount of emotion invested in this. Now, generally speaking, in these kinds of situations, I don't want to be sexist, but let's say the man tends to be more rational about it, so to speak. He does some calculations, and he thinks it over, and he says, well, the truth of the matter is it doesn't make that much difference. As far as the money is concerned, he goes through the calculations. As far as time is concerned, truth is, if we're going to go this time, then we could do the other thing we weren't. Then he has it worked out, he has a completely different thing. And what's the big deal? After all is said and done, there's no big deal. It's not much of a change. That's a rational picture. And for a moment, you're going to go, no, but it shouldn't be. You see, then you keep going. And eventually, it kind of putters out because there's nothing more to attach itself to. So one aspect of the Gamzu Latova is it's not Lara. Your sense that the Avra is wrong. It's not Lara. What is the big deal? You're automatically assuming that this is a bad thing. And you're overestimating the significance of the fact, like in the case with Rabbi Akiva, whether you'll be lodging in the city, it's just one night. If you look at the situation realistically, it's just one night. And by this time tomorrow, the whole thing will be behind you. You look at it from a completely different perspective. There's two perspectives that you could look at it from. And it's always good to remember a lot of unpleasant things in your life that you had to do. There's two ways to look at them. Now that you have some history, you can go back and look at how you looked at it in prospect, looking towards the thing. It bothered you and it was on your mind and aggravation and you don't want to do this and you don't want to have to go there and spend time with these people and put up with this and that type of a thing. Then look at it in retrospect. In retrospect, well, there too. The more you go into the situation with those negative attitudes, the more it's going to make it come true. But if you didn't, in cases where you didn't, where you were able to gain control of the emotion because you had to, and just went through the thing, afterwards, it's over. You forgot about it. And what dent did it make in your life? Nothing, no dent at all. It's not like you're suffering from this thing to this very day. The way you anticipated it, according to that anticipation, it should have been something that you'd be suffering with for a long time. It's even kind of like going to the dentist. It's much, much worse in anticipation. After all said and done, it's not that bad. Generally speaking. So most of the things that you have this anxiety about are completely not in line. So a person, when they experience something like that kind of an aggravation you could experience today, you're miss a connecting link in the flight, and then you have, you're completely thrown off your game. And you have to make other arrangements and stay in a strange city, and all these things, and then you don't have food because your food was packed with the baggage and stuff, things of that sort. So the immediate reaction is very powerful. And you're really it puts you in a terrible, terrible state. It's going to ruin that night for you. But if there was a rational being with you saying, let's look at the situation. What happened? What is so bad here? Did anything bad really happen in any realistic sense? Were you hurt physically? Are you damaged? Are you traumatized? In reality, you're going to get to the same place. I thought I'd start my vacation. You start to bring up all these petty little things. Emotionally, maybe it's important to you, but that's your problem because you're investing everything in all these particulars, which don't make any difference. In the bigger picture, it's not going to matter. If it'll be a good vacation, it'll be a good vacation. It won't matter that you started it a day later. You could start it right now. Go to your hotel, take out your book, change your attitude. If there was a rational being there, it would tell you that you're wrong. Nothing bad has happened. It's very insignificant. Not just in the cosmic sense. That's a philosopher. It's very insignificant in the realistic sense. And you know something? It could even be interesting. Could. It's certainly not bad, but it could be interesting because now you have to go shopping. You'll go into the different stores here. Tova, guess what? I'm looking for this all over. I couldn't find this object. That happens. You could find something interesting. A lot has to do, if you could get over your anger, you've been disappointed. Because you have your own personal picture of how things ought to be. You're operating in every situation. You're bringing along with it certain expectations of how things ought to work out for me. And you're very intolerant of something which is not working out for you. The first aspect, then, I think that Rabbi Akiva reflects, that he didn't get upset. That's the reality. A, it's the reality. That's the reality. What are you going to do about it? Get angry at reality? That's the reality. The reality is that there are times when the hotel is booked and you know there's no room for you. So today, you would sleep in your car. That's the worst that could happen can you imagine how people are going to get annoyed? So what's the worst thing? So you slept in your car. Is that in reality, is that a really big deal? So you lost one, you didn't have a good night's sleep, and you weren't fresh. So what? It's not going to be a very long time until you're going to get to a bed and have a regular night's sleep, and this thing didn't happen anymore. So how important is it in your own life? It just didn't happen. Look at it as something that didn't happen. Doesn't make any difference. If you would look at it from that framework of whether it makes any difference or doesn't make any difference from a philosophical framework, and as I said, not philosophical in the big picture. That, of course, if a person that's in the world of learning, the person that's in the world of true ideas, doesn't put too much stock in any of these things, doesn't make that much difference. But even if you're not such a great philosopher, just looking at it from the standpoint of what you're involved in, it doesn't make that much difference. Nothing happened. There's no change. That, I think, is the first aspect. People are thrown off their game, so to speak. They can be easily thrown off that even keel. A person has to operate with a certain even keel. But for many people, it's very tough to get to that even keel. They're always in this state of agitation. And it's very easy to get thrown off. To get thrown off. By reason of the fact that you're very attached. I think it had a lot to do with insecurities, but you're very attached to certain particular scenarios, a certain particular way of things working out. And when that's thrown off, then you allow yourself to be completely overcome by other feelings of gloom, the gloom feelings, and once that happens, the game's over. Because then, that itself, that new attitude triggers off a set of very irrational behavior. There's a few other aspects of Latova, of Gamzu Latova. And Rabbi Chay refers to it on his tape. He has a tape on the story of Nochem Ish Gamzu. Of course, there's the awareness that whatever is happening, you really can't really interpret it too well because there's just too many other factors. There's also the fact that you're putting too much emphasis on this particular, allowing it to get to you. And bear in mind also when you felt that powerful positive feeling, that joy, and how often it was short-lived. It was way, way in excess of the reality. There's also the awareness that there's other factors in terms of divine providence, hashgacha. That's also a big factor. We don't know, but we always we always pray to God, that one's closeness to God also is a factor. So it's not just the specific event that's happening. It's not just that which is being caused by the laws of nature. There's an element of divine providence, which also should come into one's calculations, even though we don't know how it's going to work out, and we can't rely on it, but we certainly take it into consideration, that if we find merit in the eyes of God, then God will help us. That factor provides a certain security. But also, Rav Chaim mentioned this, that the Gamzu Latova, that everything that God does is Latav, so to speak, can also be understood purely from the standpoint of the so-called Hashkacha Klolius, the general Hashkacha, that is to say the laws of nature, that God designed the world in a manner that the things are work out for good. Why do you have to assume that everything is for bad? Which would mean to say, even if there is no divine intervention in a particular case, we're talking within reason, and let's say this situation we're talking about, where people's plans get messed up, changes. But the world is created in such a way that you can adapt yourself to this phenomenon. Generally speaking, you can adapt. And you can make it into a good. What prevents a person from making it into a good is the blow to their narcissism. They can't accept this. So as I said, a person can be stranded in a town where they don't want to be because they're traveling somewhere else. And you have two people. One person is very happy because what's the difference? Whatever he could be doing in the other place, he could be doing over here. So he quickly finds a room, sets himself up, starts to explore. It's a new place. Starts to explore, gets some food, goes to a store. Yeah, it's a tough because the way the situation is established, you can adapt. It depends upon your ability to adapt to a new set of circumstances. And once you get over this anger, how you look at the situation is very, very determinative. Because you can't accept it because you had your mind set that this is the way it must be. This is the good. You know how the way it must be. And it must be that tonight you were already landing in your destination. Your particular scenario. But you shouldn't have these kinds of scenarios because it's ridiculous. Because you don't even know if that's a good scenario. Maybe this is a better scenario. You don't know. Maybe the situation you're in right now. That's why when you say Gamzu Latova, that's what you're affirming. That this too, just like that's not better than this. You have no way of knowing if that situation is better than this situation. You have no way of knowing. There's no reason why you should assume that you can't have a good experience where you are right now. The factor which differentiates is that some people are cheerful, they don't invest in the particular scenario that they worked out, and they adapt to the situation that they're in. That's the attitude of Gamzu Latova. One aspect of it. We didn't do the Gamzu, the Nachamish Gamzu part. Because that's a different expression of it. Rabbi Akiva is also an expression of it in that, okay, who says that this has to be a calamity? What the story illustrates is by making it very concrete, it's to make this lesson very strong, I'll show you this point. The point that it doesn't have to be a calamity, and that our view is so far removed from the actuality, is that very often, to the contrary, it could be a tremendous benefit, and what you thought was the benefit indeed is the calamity. That's what it's showing you. That in this situation, not being in the city was the good, and being in the city was the calamity. That's how far the actuality of the situation is different from your perception of it. What you learn is that it doesn't have to be that way in every case. A person that's miserable is going, that doesn't have the attitude of Gamzu Latova, that has the attitude of Gamzu L'ra, that this is Ra, so it'll be a Ra. You in many areas of life, you determine. You make your own bed, so to speak. It doesn't mean to say that your situation is going to work itself out in that way. That the next time you get stranded somewhere and you're subjected to a certain amount of hardship along these lines, that you're going to look back and it's going to turn out that all these things that appeared to be bad were really for the good in this kind of a concrete way. The plane actually crashed, and to the contrary, by not showing up at that event, you were better off because certain people were there and it wouldn't have been good for you to be there. No, that's not what it means. That's just an illustration. To teach you, the main thing is that at the time that it's happening, you should not, it's absurd for you to allow yourself to be affected by your limited perception, which is completely distorted. If you allow that to happen, then you're going to put yourself into a certain mode, into a certain mood, into a certain framework, and if it will be a ra, it will be an evil. It didn't have to be. It could be a tov. It could be very well a tov. You can... Most of the things that a person does in these situations, if you think about it, there's no problem. There was no loss. Nothing happened. In the big picture, what difference did it make? So instead of being here one night, you were there one night. A week later, it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, if it has no existence in terms of your own life, how could it be considered an important event? Any event that you talk about as being important is something which has some kind of an existence. From the time you had that job, this is my whole life change. I mean, it has an impact. It has an impact on your life. It's interesting also that the things, in looking back in your life, the things that had a real impact on your life are those things that at the time they were occurring, you may not even have seen them. You may not have known. It's only subsequently. It's not easy to know at the initial stages what are the important things of my life. I have no way of knowing. Because so many different things are happening even to one person. You're meeting people. You're meeting friends. You're involved in activities, maybe learning activities, maybe teaching, maybe social activities. All different types of things are happening in your life. You really do not know. And then you could weigh them and measure them. So it's an interesting game, so to speak, to try and make a scale. What's really important in my life? What are the things that are really important? Well, you don't really know. You think. It's only, I guess, in retrospect, when you look back, that you could isolate. Well, perhaps it was the decision to go to a certain high school. That was the decision. At the time, how did you know? That this too was Latova, that this was Latova. Or a certain friendship. Or a certain activity that you pursued. And that, from that, something developed and you became very skilled at it and it gave you an enduring joy. Something that became significant in your life. Nobody has any way of knowing, unless you're a prophet, you can't live your life that way. And yet, during that same period of time, you're getting extremely upset and angry at certain things, and extremely excited and ecstatic over other things, and 99% of the time, you're wrong. Because those things didn't last. Were of no impact, were of no significance. So your emotional reactions are completely out of line with the reality of human existence. Again and again, it's important to make this point. That when these things occur, so-called setbacks, essentially, one doesn't know. But the fact that one doesn't know does not prevent the person from coming to a conclusion, jumping to a conclusion on the basis of a certain impact on how it affects your emotion. And that sets off a chain, which makes things worse and worse and worse. That's irrational functioning. If the person could get past that, the initial emotion, and then think it through logically and ask yourself, what difference does it make? And even if it is a setback, it's very, very minor. Therefore, nothing happened. Because if it's insignificant, it's nothing. Put that aside and say, well, now this is my new reality. That was Rabbi Akiva. His new reality was he's not going to be in the town. Is that a reality I could live with? Of course it's a reality I could live with. And it's, that's also a tov. Just like being there is a tov, being here is a tov. What's the difference? Why can't I find a tov where I am now? If you look at it that way, well, first of all, it is, in a sense, easier for a Rabbi Akiva. Because since he partakes of the Tov, of the real good, and the essence of his experience of the good has to do with being involved in the world of the real good, the world of knowledge and learning and ideas, and the physical is pretty much a means to an end, the change in place has much less of an effect upon him. That's a very important lesson to learn. The more the person is consumed by the particulars, that they're defined by it, and their whole essence is defined by the particulars, the more they are subject to these types of disappointments. If a person is traveling, let's say on a bus or a train or a plane, whatever it may be, if it's a longer trip, so the more the person is dependent upon the physical comforts and needs distractions, needs for all different types of external things to keep them busy, so the more they're going to be upset when these things don't work, or they're not there, they're not showing a movie, whatever the case may be. The less the person is connected to those extras, that is to say, a person who gets on the plane and just wants a place to sit and take out their book, or the person will take out their sefer and they just want a place where they could sit undisturbed and be involved in ideas and in thinking and learning, to that extent they're freer. It's much easier for them to always be in a situation of gamzul tova, because the particularities of the physical aspect of the situation are less important to them, less of an impact upon them. That's for sure. There's no question. That is the direction in which a person ought to be heading. Insofar as a person is completely dependent upon the physical, to that extent, you're involved in the world of disappointments. Coats for darda, thorns and thistles. It's the way it is. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that even in that framework, a rational person is going to be less upset. The more rational you are about it, the more you're going to realize that there's not really that much difference between this situation and that situation. But it's going to be harder. Because the greater the needs are, the more a person is connected to the needs, and these needs are for all kinds of luxuries, the more easy it is to get thrown off your game. Because you can't duplicate those luxuries wherever you are. That's a very important characteristic that a person can develop. It's a very important thing to recognize that your attitude towards a situation, you often mistake it for the situation, but it's not. It's your attitude towards the situation, your inability to accept certain things about the situation. But it's not the situation itself. If you could remove that attitude and just relate to the actualities of the situation, then it would be different. So the first thing that a person has to learn is the ability to accept the reality that they're being confronted with. Now, this doesn't mean, I'm not saying that there's no objective aspect to the reality. It doesn't apply to every situation. That is, I'm not saying that no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, you could always live with it. And that's not the point that I'm trying to make. Because you should be intelligent about it. You have to determine whether this should be your reality. They're within a certain framework, a person can change it. People get divorced, people change their jobs, whatever. You don't go around just telling a person that's unhappy in a job or whatever it is, or miserable in a marriage, that, well, you can accept it. Is it livable? Yeah, but it's miserable. That's something else. That is a different type of an assessment. Sometimes this can be true, that you can do a certain amount of therapy or corrective work because it's not really that bad, it's because of certain attitudes, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could be that it's just, that's the reality for you. So then I wouldn't say, well, you just accept the reality. That's up to you, because here you have a certain control. You can change. If a person can change the reality, then that's correct that the person should do. That's a different issue. This is not fatalism. This is not preaching an attitude of submission and just acceptance. That's not what we're talking about. You should always strive to improve the situation. Improving the situation always involves work on yourself, and then you're dealing with a certain reality, and there's just so far you can go. That's something else. Here we're talking really about a reality which is not subject to your change. You have no control over this. Because if you had control, if you could change, if you can get another flight, if you could stop from getting bumped off the flight, I think no people that take this attitude of Gamzul Tova, so then let's say someone's trying to bump them. Are they not going to fight back? They're not going to argue for their case? Of course they are. But why, but according to the philosophy that it's always for the good, in the sense that if you leave this plane, then you'll be saving yourself from something bad, so then why would you fight to get back on the plane? Well, if a person got bumped off the plane, with this philosophy, Gamzul Tova, it's got to be that it wasn't Bashert. It wasn't meant to happen. It was a bad thing. And then, 15 minutes later, something changes, and another passenger had to get off, and now they're telling you to get back on the plane. So what are you going to do? Get back? I can't. Can you get back on the plane? What about the Bashert factor? Or maybe there's been a change in Bashert. In those situations, it's important to look at it from that standpoint. That you really can't say that this is not Latova. And once you have that recognition, and you act upon it, then that will have an effect. Then it will be Latova.